Adam, you've had three postseason starts in this building. Two of them you pitched very well and you guys lost those games. One of them you didn't pitch as well and you guys won that game. You kind of look back at a career pitching in the postseason here. What do you remember from those games and how does that shape going into tomorrow?
Yeah, the funny thing about my postseason career is a lot of the good games I've pitched we didn't win, and my two biggest complete chokes, we won both of them. So that doesn't mean I'm going to go out tomorrow and do that on purpose. But it is interesting how baseball works sometimes. You know, just you can never get too comfortable in any lead against these great teams you play in the postseason.
Adam, how much pride do you take in this start, and what does it mean to you for your team to trust you in a one game, whatever situation?
Well, I mean, I kind of consider all postseason games that way. I mean, I know they're not all the same, but in a way, there's so much momentum that goes with each and every start that's in the postseason. I treat them all like a win or go home. You know, I've tried to do that with every start of my whole career. Also, you know, just treat it with that same level of urgency and big gameness. You know, whether it's April 17th or it's October 17th, you know, I try to treat them the same. But it is a great honor bestowed on me. I know that the team feels confident. I feel confident. Our team as a whole feels confident about what's been going on in our clubhouse and out on that field. So it'll be fun. How do I feel? What?
Physically, with 8 days rest coming into tomorrow?
I mean, pretty good. You know, it is a long season, so I mean, that we thought about maybe trying to get in a game at the end, but that just made so much more sense to get everything, you know, completely ready for this game.
Adam, the defense you have behind you, I mean, with a game like this has such little margin for error. Can you just talk about the confidence you have in the guys behind you and you know, what we've seen throughout September and throughout the whole year with them?
Yeah, I've been doing it all year. I trust them immensely. You know, to the guys behind me, I don't think I've played on a team that's this talented on the defensive side of the ball. I just our outfield is certainly the fastest that I've ever been a part of. It covers the most ground, good jumps, good reads, you know, diving plays all year long for me. We got Gold Glovers everywhere in the infield. I mean, our defense is special. I mean, there's just no way of, you know, getting around that. We have incredible defenders, and why would you not trust those guys?
Hey, Adam, congratulations on getting this far. Can you just talk about this, what you've learned over the course of the season about yourself, about this team, and are there any experiences that you may pull from your previous starts that may be able to help you for tomorrow?
Well, I think more than anything, the last year and a half, the last 2 years, the last two seasons, and really the last two and a half seasons, it was an understanding finally of who I was as a pitcher. And kind of putting my ego behind me and just doing whatever it was necessary, whatever it took to win that game. The first half of 19, I tried to do a lot of different stuff, tried to pitch like a lot of different pitchers, tried to pitch up in the zone a lot and spray the ball around and just wasn't, you know, who I was as a pitcher. I can do that, but it's not where I need to live. And then kind of understanding where my body has kind of took a turn, not for the worse, but just different than when I was a younger player. I never have thrown as hard as everyone thinks I threw. I've never been a fireballer, never been a blazer, never sitting 95 miles an hour, and this never has been me. You can check my average fastball from every year of my career, even when, like, 2007, my first year starting, was, like, pretty close to this year's average fastball, actually. But the hardest I think I ever averaged on fastball in a year was 92, and that was in 2013. So I just never have been the fireballer. But taking that back even further and understanding that it's okay to not throw 100 miles an hour, because you know what, everybody else does anyways. So maybe me throwing softer is kind of an outlier. I'm not trying to throw it soft. It's just the way it comes out. I would love to throw the ball 100 miles an hour. It just doesn't happen. So I have to be comfortable with who I am in my own skin and go out and get the most out of my own ability.
Beth Harris, AP. You don't look your age. Do you feel it?
Well, wait, quite, thank you. Are you saying I look older or young? No, I don't, actually. I felt way older than my age about 3 or 4 years ago. and now I feel, I think, significantly younger than my age. But, you know, in every other job place in America, I'm still a pretty young fella. It's just in this job that I chose that I'm an old guy. So that's the way I kind of look at it. You know, I'm still a young man, you know, in the eyes of the rest of the world. And I think as soon as you start buying into the age thing, if you buy into the fact that you're old, then you are. You know, if you stop trying to do things like young folks do, sometimes you are. Now, I have to be smart about that sometimes. You know, I don't still try to touch the ceiling in the weight room every single day like I used to, and I don't try to jump over everything or whatever. But occasionally, you got to do that every now and then to push yourself and keep yourself young. So there's that fine line of staying young, but also staying smart, trying to balance that.
What changed the 3 or 4 years ago when you said you were feeling way older?
I changed my diet. I cut out for about a year and a couple of months. I cut out gluten and dairy and sugar and processed foods of all kinds. Changed my workout program, changed my conditioning program. Body felt drastically different pretty much right away.
Adam, so much of your old story is overcoming adversity, whether it's guys, how would you start to become injured list, or, you know, we were talking earlier about Tommy Edge, and bounce back from my sophomore spot. When you look around at the clubhouse, how do you see guys responding to failure being a huge part of your old success, whether it's from the bullpen or even guys in the rotation? And how is that a strength in during a game like this?
Yeah, well, you mentioned Tommy. I think he's a great case of exactly what I was talking about earlier. Tommy started out the year like the first half almost leading the entire major leagues in hits, you know, bunch of doubles, bunch of stolen bases, and then tried to lift the ball a little bit more. You know, we saw a guy try to drive it a little bit more and got out of his approach a little bit, I think. And then you saw him go back to what he was really good at and be great at that. And now a guy who can drive it every now and then, but is going to hit doubles, is going to hit singles, is going to get on base, going to steal bases. That's who he is as a player. There's nothing wrong with that. That's who he is. That's what makes him special. That's what makes him unique. Sometimes as players, when we try to play like other players, sometimes that doesn't work out. Sometimes it does. Sometimes you make adjustments. You learn from somebody else something that helps you. But sometimes it takes away from what you're great at. So he's just one instance. But I think you saw a bunch of young players trying to find out exactly who they were as players. And all big league players go through that. You know, whether you think you got it all figured out or not, you will go through those moments where you're trying to figure out exactly who you need to be. And not that you ever have it really figured out, but there are those times where you realize, okay, I got away from what my bread and butter was. Now I need to go back to that, and I can do other things in a small way, but this is who I am as a player. I think you saw a lot of guys in our clubhouse who sort of started getting down the right path of being able to do that successfully.
You guys were optimistic about the kind of team you could be all season long. What did you learn about yourselves during that winning streak?
Yeah, definitely. It was a fun time, and, you know, just guys for the first time, guys looking at each other, going, "Yeah, I don't think like we're going to ever lose another game again." You know, that was a great thing to hear. Several people say that. Like, it feels like we're going to win every day. And then I look at them and say, "And that is what a winning club feels like when they show up to the park." That is what championship teams feel like. They feel like when they show up to the park, the preparation of work and all the stuff that they've done is going to prepare them, and they're going to win that game. That's the mojo they go into those games feeling like. And when you're on losing teams or teams who aren't really sure about their identity or their success potentially, they come to the park wondering what that's going to look like. Are we going to win today? You know, what's going to happen when this guy takes the mound rather than, well, we're going to find a way to win. And that's what we were at mentally, and that's where we're going to try to continue in this postseason, is showing up every day only figuring out how we're going to win. And for a while there, we were figuring out how to lose. We were finding new ways each day seemingly to lose games, and that's what losing teams do.
I wonder about that contrast, like how you feel now compared to how the team felt coming to the ballpark in June.
Yep. Yeah, coming to the park in June, it was like if one thing happened, you know, you could see the team almost deflated, start to think, oh, well, here it comes again, you know, and that is what losing teams do. Winning teams don't have that attitude. Winning attitudes for winning teams, when something happens, you go, okay, well, we got to punch back. All right, we can come back from that. We will find a way to come back from that. And it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to believe it, but our team started believing it, and then you saw what happened.
I don't know if fitting is the right word or cool, but what does it mean to you, maybe even Yadi, to look over and see a playoff game where Albert Pujols is on the other team? I don't know if he's playing or not, but what does that mean to you? Does that mean anything? Is it significant? Cool?
Not anymore. Nothing's cool about that team over there right now to us. They had a great regular season. They're a very tough team. Albert's a great friend, but right now it's we're fighting, you know. We'll make up afterwards, but we're fighting right now. So I was watching Last Chance U earlier, and they were going over the game plan of the team they were going to face, and one of the players marveled at how fast the other quarterback was, and the coach stopped him and said, don't be a fan. And right now we can't be a fan of that other team. We've got to go out and compete.
Do you keep in contact with him at all?
Yes. Yeah, Albert's a great friend. We FaceTime and talk all the time.
So have you guys spoken over the course of the last couple of days?
No. Max and Clayton are both great friends of mine also, and we just, you know, we'll talk after.
As a follow-up to Derek's question, what changed in that mentality? Obviously, the winning helps, but in order to keep that faith and eventually make that transition, what changed that mentality?
I don't know. I think you saw a couple things play into that. I think I've said this a few times already, but I think getting in O'Neill into the three-hole was a real empowerer of our lineup. It empowered Goldie and empowered Nolan. And then getting Dylan in that five spot and having some people behind there that were successfully driving those guys in occasionally, taking tough at-bats, you know, those guys in the middle of the lineup, they really got going. I mean, we got, three guys in a row, almost four, that had have OPSs over 800. That's tough. That's tough on a pitcher. And I've said all along, the championship teams, they have at least three guys in their lineup. You know, you can game plan as a pitcher. You can game plan around two guys. Three guys makes it real tough because now you got lots of things that can happen. And runners, extra base hits and crooked numbers and innings in the postseason is what beats you. And so when you get a lineup like that with three or four, this lineup over here has four or five guys in the middle of the lineup that, you know, they can beat you on any swing. So it makes it tougher on a pitcher.
Hey, Adam, Nadia Gastro with the Open Los Angeles. Obviously, you talk about it'll be this team. The two teams have a lot of history between each other. But do you feel like this is like the more intense game? It's going to be very
one. Yeah, one games are tough, man. It's because you play a whole season to get into the postseason, and this is the postseason. But it's anything can happen in one game. So we've been a part of a couple wild card games, and it is a harsh atmosphere out there. You know, there's a lot on the line. Winner take all games are just as fun as it gets, right? I mean, like as a player, as a competitor, it just, you know, that's I always talk about the big moments. You know, when you were as a kid, it was never, you know, game 17 against the worst team in the league. It's all what you're going over in your mind in the backyard is always bottom of the ninth, bases loaded. You know, game seven, it's always that deciding game. So it just doesn't get more fun, you know. We would have liked to have won our division and not have to do that, but here we are, so we're glad to be here.
Max had some success against you guys a few weeks ago in St. Louis. You had some success against that in St. Louis. Do you glean anything from that start? Do you adjust your approach, your game plan?
Sounds like a scouting report to me, doesn't it?
But does that affect what you do tomorrow anyway?
Can't tell you that. I won't tell you that. I mean, it's like a ridiculous thing for me to try to even answer that question. Those guys over there, they listen to these things, you know, and I'm just going to throw fastballs right down the middle.